Breaking weather news, a level one risk for severe storms is prompting a WRAL weather alert day. I'll show you what to expect in your town tonight and through the weekend.
TSA issues a new warning for travelers this weekend. See a live look at delays and cancellations at RDU. And healthcare providers challenging North Carolina's abortion laws in a new federal lawsuit. How they say the law is unclear and unconstitutional. We break down the lawsuit line by line.
I want to bring you in, starting with weather first. I want to show you this time-lapse video from our Tall Tower Cam in southeast Wake County. You can just see right there the moments passing by as continued rain passes on to that lens right there. And right now, our WREL severe weather team is tracking storms moving throughout our area. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Lovingood.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Today is a WREL weather alert day because of the storms. Hail is coming down in some areas. Check out this photo a viewer sent us in Hillsborough, and we have received numerous photos from viewers. WREL's Shelley Jackson is live at RDU for us tonight, looking at the impact this system is having on people trying to travel. We'll get to her in just a bit. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Kat, the level one threat was expanded. Where are the storms headed next?
They're headed through Wilson. We've seen heavy rain coming down in Wilson. We're not currently seeing any hail in these thunderstorms, but a lot of lightning and some heavy rain passing through Wilson, southern Edgecombe County, and we do still have a few showers around Franklin County and Johnston County, even Harnett County, just a few tiny showers. But the most lightning is in the Wilson area right now within this thunderstorm. Southern Edgecombe County as well will continue to see this storm push to the southeast. And as these storms continue to move to the southeast, we'll watch them weaken as well. So our storm chances are going down over the next couple of hours. Gradually, we will see this activity dying down on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. After sunset, it's about a 30% chance of a storm, and I would expect that we would be dry overnight. Many of us saw a nice little amount of rain, though, just over a quarter of an inch in Durham, Walnut Creek. Hillsborough saw about a quarter of an inch. Wake Forest as well. Nashville, over a quarter of an inch, and even half an inch of rain in Clarksville today, where they also saw some hail. I'll have a closer look at the wildfire at the coast and show you how we can see it using some weather tools coming up.
Okay, thanks, Kat. Let's go to Brett Neese in the WREL Live Center, looking at some power outage numbers right now.
Yeah, Ashley, thousands of people without power right now. But first, I want to get you to this video from viewers of the hail that had passed through the Morrisville area just about an hour or so ago in Wake County. And you can see that back porch there is just getting pounded with hail. And this is in from a viewer, just incredible video. We've seen a number of pictures as well as these fast moving storms sweep across Wake County. Here's another video for you there. But back here in the WREL Live Center, these power outages here from the Duke Energy Map, over 2,000 outages in the Hillsborough area, 1,000 in Durham. But we're going to pull the map over to Wake County. We have another 2,000 in Cary and another 1,000 here in the North Raleigh neighborhood there near Millbrook Road. But this also having an effect on people's Friday night plans. Coastal Credit Union, their park had to open late because of this storm that moved through. They did get the all clear. That's good news. Doors back open there. Doors also back open at Red Hat Amphitheater after it was evacuated because of these storms that moved through the area. You can see some of the crowds there as they made their way back into Red Hat Amphitheater. Now that these storms are moving out, hopefully people can enjoy the rest of their Friday night plans.
Brett, thanks. And not just people going out and trying to enjoy their Friday, but people trying to travel right now at RDU stuck longer than they were expected because of the weather. WREL's Shelley Jackson joins us live here right now. So, Shelley, I'm looking right now at the flight status on RDU's website. I'm seeing some delays, but I'm sure you could show us a little clearly on the boards behind you.
Well, Chris, I've been out here for a couple hours with my eye on this board. And when we first got here, there were about a dozen flight cancellations and delays. Now that number has ticked up to 40. And most of those are to and from New York, Newark, and Philly. Now, it is pretty quiet out here right now, but this is Father's Day weekend, and Monday is Juneteenth. Yesterday, the TSA issuing that an announcement that it screened 2.7 million people nationwide, and it expects to see another 10 million through Monday. Now, those are nearly the same numbers of people the TSA screened just 3 weeks ago over the Memorial Day weekend. Right now, things are moving pretty smoothly out here. And as long as your flight isn't canceled, then you have nothing to worry about. But the TSA says if you are flying over this weekend, give yourself enough time to get here, to get parking, to get through the lines, and make your flight in time. Chris?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, especially because of the weather. Shelley Jackson live at RDU. Thanks, Shelley.
Just about 2 weeks before the state's new abortion ban goes into place on July 1st, there's now a court battle to block it. Planned Parenthood filed a federal lawsuit today along with the ACLU. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan explains what specifically the groups are challenging.
The plaintiffs in this case believe that this law was passed too swiftly with no advice from medical professionals. They believe that the law is riddled with confusion, which could make it unreasonable or unsafe for women to get proper abortion care. In 16 days, Senate Bill 20 becomes law, banning most abortions after 12 weeks in our state.
This lawsuit generally challenges SB 20 as a very badly drafted bill.
Today, Planned Parenthood and Dr. Beverly Gray, a Duke Health OBGYN, filed a 32-page lawsuit in federal court, stating that many provisions of the law are contradictory and add more harm to rape or sexual assault victims.
There is also a requirement, a completely nonsensical requirement that people seeking abortion through the rape or incest exception have to go to a hospital to get that abortion. That is inexplicable.
The lawsuit is also asking the General Assembly to clarify if medication abortion pills are legal through 12 weeks of pregnancy.
In many parts of this law, it makes clear that abortion will be legal up to 12 weeks of pregnancy, including medication abortion.
The plaintiffs also believe the law needs to be clarified if Planned Parenthood or physicians can help people who are more than 12 weeks pregnant obtain legal abortions in other states. If the law prohibits offering that advice, the plaintiffs believe that's a First Amendment violation.
It's unclear which type of medical professional can now provide that information. It appears to say that only physicians can do that. So we are asking the court, though, to clarify.
Lastly, the lawsuit challenges a provision requiring certain information be provided to the patient 72 hours before the abortion, with no exception for medical emergencies, despite other sections of the bill, which outline a medical emergency exception to the 72-hour mandatory delay. Planned Parenthood operates six of the state's 14 abortion clinics, and if this new law would pass, they would have to spend money to upgrade them or close those sites. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
For years, people who live in Raleigh had a say in where the city put in sidewalks. It was through a petition program, but it was suspended because of an audit. The results found problems with where these requests were coming from, and so disparities in where sidewalks were installed. Tonight, WRAL's investigative data journalist, Allie Ingersoll, is looking more into this. So, Allie, tell us a little on how did you start noticing the issues with the sidewalks?
Well, Chris, if you know even just a little about me, you know that I like running, and more often than not, you can catch me wearing something that's athletic rather than something like this. So a few months ago, I started noticing places around Raleigh like this, where the sidewalks literally just end. So I decided to lace up my sneakers and set out by foot to see where that's happening and why.
There's never been no sidewalks here. I grew up here right around the corner there. And we always played out in the street.
James Ricks comes to his old neighborhood regularly to cut the grass on this property. And he cuts right to the curb since, as you can see, along these southeast Raleigh streets, there aren't any sidewalks. Rochester Heights is a historically black community, and it's one of many places in Raleigh where walkability is an issue.
You're kind of forgetting. Yeah. We put it at the bottom of the totem pole.
A recent audit by the city shows inequitable practices when it comes to sidewalk construction through the now suspended petition process. That report shows that petitions are underrepresented in the most vulnerable areas relative to sidewalk needs and overrepresented in the most prosperous areas, shown here in yellow. It goes on to say that there are unintended consequences, and over the last decade, more sidewalks have been installed in less vulnerable, more prosperous, whiter areas. Ann Conlin, a transportation engineer with the city, says looking at walkability through an equity lens is important.
There's whole segments of the city that just didn't get built with those sidewalks. And unfortunately, it takes a long time to go retrofit all those streets.
This map shows where all of those sidewalks were put in over the last decade, and it adds to this city sidewalk map. To understand it, areas without any blue lines don't have sidewalks.
We've got people walking to the bus stop. That's how they get around. That's their transportation. So sidewalks are absolutely critical part of our transportation system.
In this southeast Raleigh neighborhood, we saw children stepping off of the bus into footpaths with no sidewalks around. Rick says that he hopes at some point his childhood neighborhood will get that sort of infrastructure, but feels sidewalks, or the lack thereof, are another way communities of color are left behind as the city grows.
We always been the last on the list, so I feel like, you know, we're not equal.
In some of the communities without sidewalks we visited, like this one here, people told us that, sure, walkability is an issue, but then they went on to say that they have bigger problems that they feel need to be addressed first.
So first of all, kudos to you for catching this issue, because this is our community. We spend time out in it. You go running. I know you run and you ride your bike. And this is something that's very important to the community. But it's also to note, as you just showed there, it's dangerous. They get off the bus. They're walking through that. And one thing about in terms of real estate is that if they don't have the sidewalks there, there's no walkability there. If the grass isn't kept well, you know, property values may not do as well. So this is a good catch for you, Allie. Thank you for reporting on that. And requests for sidewalks made before the petition program was suspended will actually be fulfilled. In November, Raleigh City Council approved more than $14 million to fund any that are outstanding.
Very interesting. After a historic career on the court and 13 years as the owner of an NBA team off the court, Michael Jordan is selling his majority stake in the team. Ahead, what the decision means for Jordan moving forward and who will take over. And as we head to break, we take another live look outside. You can see the rain's still coming down. Meteorologist Kat Campbell has the weekend forecast ahead.
Former President Donald Trump is denying mishandling classified documents. And in Greensboro, Trump suggested federal prosecutors had ulterior motives for indicting him on the day they did. Paul Spey was there, and he checks Trump's claim for PolitiFact.
Was Donald Trump indicted on a specific day to overshadow news about President Joe Biden? Well, that's what he told the crowd at the NCGOP convention on Saturday. Take a look.
It's no coincidence they indicted me the very same day it was revealed that the FBI hid explosive evidence that Joe Biden took a $5 million illegal bribe from Ukraine.
What is Trump talking about there? Well, it's hard to tell exactly because he didn't provide us with any specifics. But here's what we know. He was indicted on June 8th, as you can see from the indictment here. And that same day, Fox News published a story about an FBI file containing an allegation from an unnamed source that Biden had taken a bribe when he was vice president. Now, the FBI has known about this allegation for 3 years. It has not released the name of the person who made it. And to date, nothing has come of it because the claim remains unverified. Still, Republicans in Congress have been pushing to see the FBI's file and have been talking about its contents for weeks. You can see the New York Post reported the gist of this allegation that involved Ukraine, that the bribe was $5 million, back on May 25th. So what Fox reported on June 8th wasn't completely new. And this former prosecutor told me it's highly unlikely that the people indicting Trump would have known or cared what else was going to be in the news that day. For more information on the Trump indictment and those Biden allegations, read our story at WRAL.com.
After 13 years of being the majority owner, Michael Jordan is set to sell his majority stake in the Charlotte Hornets.
WRAL sports reporter Chris Lee joining us now. I'm flanked by two Chris L's. To what do I owe the pleasure, Chris?
Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, exactly. Right there.
Who's going to own the team now?
So right now, Gabe Plotkin and a guy named Rick Schnall, they're going to be the ones who have an investment group, and that's going to be the majority owners of the team. Gabe Plotkin already is a minority owner with the Charlotte Hornets. And then after this, basically what needs to happen is the NBA Board of Governors needs to vote on this to approve this sale. The Board of Governors, basically the other owners of the team, that's what the NBA likes to call their owners, the Board of Governors. So after that, then the sale goes through.
So I think it's really important to talk about what this means for representation. I mean, we're talking about Michael Jordan being the only black majority owner in the league. But not even just with, like, basketball, but in football, you know, not there. He's the only one, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about football having, what, 56% or 52% of black players, 72%
somewhere
black?
Somewhere over there, over 50, yeah.
So, like, what does that mean, like, him not being there?
So he will be, you know, we won't have a franchise in the United States of America who's majority owned by a black person. Mm-hmm. Or, but that's one of the things that is happening with this sale. But we don't know why Michael Jordan wants to sell. Maybe it's in the best interest of the team. He hasn't been necessarily a good owner because the Hornets haven't really had a lot of success under his ownership, but that's not indicative of who he is or the color of his skin.
Right.
He's a better basketball player than what he is a basketball executive, but he will still maintain a minority stake in the team, so he's not going to go away completely.
He's still there.
We should mention there are a couple of big names, high-profile names that are a part of this new consortium, if you will, of ownership.
Yeah, it's going to be a musical time down in Charlotte because J. Cole and Eric Church, both North Carolina natives, they're going to be a part of this ownership group. They're a part of this same ownership group with Rick Schnall and Gabe Plotkin.
Hey, we have like 10 seconds left. Just real quick, how did the team do financially?
So when Jordan bought it initially, it was worth $275 million. Yeah. Now it's worth
$3 billion.
But he only owned 65% of the team before he sold a piece to Gabe Plotkin back in 2019. So he's not going to walk away with $3 billion. Of course, he's still keeping a piece of the team
still
as well.
Still impressive what he's getting, though.
That's still an amazing financial flip for him.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a good
Chris
time.
Lee, thank you so much for joining us on set. We want to get over to Kat now because you've been covering a lot of weather, and finally some storms are passing through.
Yes, and Zebulon, they're having their concert series outside today, and they all had to go inside and seek shelter from some of the rain and storms earlier. Luckily, all is clear now in Zebulon. They've got a band performing out there. It looks like a really good time. It is really hopping out there at the historic town hall. So it looks like a nice night after the storm passed there. And we've seen the rain clear out of Wake County at this point. We've got one small shower that's headed for Rocky Mount. No lightning with that one. And the storms from Wilson starting to push out of our viewing area. So not much left on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. Most of this activity off to our east at this point. And we should continue to see the radar quiet down over the next couple of hours. Once we get to sunset, we lose the heating mechanism of the day. And that allows the energy to just start to go down in the atmosphere, and things usually start to quiet down around that time. We've got a cold front that's going to be pushing in from the northwest. That brings drier air for the weekend. Two big changes. It's going to be less humid and there will be no rain thanks to the dry air. Sunday for Father's Day, no humidity, but boy, it's going to be hot. 92 in Raleigh, 93 in Fayetteville, 90 for Wilmington, 86 in Asheville. Dew points should be in the 50s this weekend, and that certainly makes the air feel more comfortable than it did earlier today. And if you look at your weekend as a whole, Saturday looks really nice as well. Tomorrow's high, 88 degrees, 92 on Sunday. These numbers definitely look like summer, with highs hovering around the 90-degree mark, but with the sunshine, no rain to dodge, it'll be pretty nice for the weekend. Next week, we were telling you about an upper-level low-pressure system that would feed a lot of moisture into the area and spark potentially more widespread rain. We're starting to see changes in the positioning and setup at the jet stream level, and that may keep the heavy rain and the soaking rain south of North Carolina. So rain chances trending lower for us next week. Just a heads up there. I know a lot of us really need this rain. At least some areas were able to pick up a quarter of an inch of rain today. Today it was about a 40% chance of storms. We've got three dry days coming up. Luckily for the weekend, a 20% chance for rain on Tuesday, and then the potential for some scattered showers on storms for the middle of next week. But it is looking like less of a widespread soaking rain and more in the way of some scattered activity. I did want to show you what's going on down at the coast today. Ethan Clark took this picture near Brunswick County. This is the pyrocumulus cloud that actually formed from the wildfire there. You have all that hot air at the surface in a wildfire, the surrounding air much cooler. So as that air rises, it forms these really tall billowing clouds and they really bubble up. It was a pretty spectacular sight to see out there. Unfortunately, for bad reasons, the Pulp Road fire continues to burn, and we can see it there on satellite. So stay tuned for updates on that and air quality over the weekend at the coast. For us here locally, we'll enjoy a couple of quieter days, especially given that Sunday is Father's Day. Hopefully you can do something outside with Dad. Next week, not looking quite as hot. Chris and Ashley.
Focused on the weekend, the sunshine.
I know. It feels like summer now, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, Kat. A Triangle favorite for tacos is setting up another shop. We'll tell you where you can find the next Gym Tacos and when it's set to open.
We're back with breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. A crash has knocked out power in Cary. We're talking about here at Maynard Road at Chatham Street. You can see all the red there on the map right there at that intersection. Two northbound lanes closed and one southbound lane closed because of this crash that has knocked out a power pole. And it's knocked out power to that area in Cary. Over 1,000 power outages in that section of Cary. We have a crew on the way to that scene to work to learn more information about how this crash happened. We do know that there are no injuries. Chris and Ashley.
Okay. Thanks, Brett. Tomorrow, Dick's Park will host the Capital City Juneteenth celebration.
And there's going to be live music, of course, food trucks, inflatable games, and a balloon artist is going to be there for more activities. The event runs from 1 to 6, and if you didn't know, WREL is a proud community partner of that event. And anchors Ken Smith and Lena Tillett will be hosting that. Admission, if you didn't know, is free. And folks, there is still time to sign up for the second annual Oberlin Village Heritage 5K.
The event takes place Juneteenth weekend to help raise awareness of the holiday and the history of the state's oldest Freedmen's Village. This year's 5K and Kids Dash takes place at Wake Med Soccer Park. Each participant will receive a medal and T-shirt. New this year, visit the Black-owned business booths and food trucks. WRAL, a proud partner. Hey, Raleigh's Jim Tacos adding another location.
Yeah, there's one not too far from where I live, actually. The popular Mexican restaurant is expanding to Morgan Street Food Hall. Now, first, there were trucks, then the location on Hillsborough Street, and now this. That location opens next week on June 21st. The restaurant is also working on opening a new location in Wake Forest, but no date announced for that one just yet. And for more foodie news, look for this story under the Out and About section on WREL.com. Mmm, that looks so tasty. Mm-hmm. Dozens of African-American quilting experts travel to Durham ahead of Juneteenth.
This is such a beautiful story, literally. The Kindred Spirits Conference features workshops and speakers celebrating the legacy of the art form. Kimberly Pierce Cartwright is an organizer with the conference and says the use of quilts has evolved from warmth and utility to tools of social justice.
Just the colors and all that, the craftsmanship that went to it, it's awesome. All right, thanks for making WREL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.